Good evening. Welcome back to Sunday evening, and I trust and pray that you've had a wonderful day celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And tonight we want to take just a few moments and go back and look into the Word of God and continue in developing our divine nature, the sermon series from 2 Peter. And we're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. We'll begin reading. All right? It says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." We'll stop right there. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we approach your throne of grace, seeking your guidance as we look into your word. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, our minds, our very souls, that we may receive the message from your word that you've prepared for us, Lord. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, change us through this study, I pray. I pray that you will continue, Lord, just to bless our church family during these times of uncertainty. I pray that you will just watch over and keep our church family from this COVID-19 virus. I pray that you will just, Lord, again open the doors so that we may once again very soon meet together as your church and enjoy fellowship together as well as worshiping you together. Lord, we love you. I pray that all this to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, the last 2 weeks, the focus has been developing our faith so that we share in God's divine nature. Now, sharing in God's divine nature means that God lives through us. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, that the world is able to see the nature of God as we live out our lives. And today we're told, or originally we were told in the first part of this study, that we're to add to our faith. This addition to our faith will help to advance us into this divine nature that I'm talking about. And so, just a quick review, we've been told to add to our faith virtue, which is moral excellence. To add to our virtue knowledge, which is time in the Word of God. I stop right here and I remind you once again, have you spent time in the Word of God this week? You will not develop if you do not spend time with God in the Word of God. And then we're supposed to add to the knowledge self-control, which is the mastery of self, being able to tell ourselves no. Perseverance, which is endurance in hard times. Godliness, which is representing God no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, that the world is able to see God living in us. And all these five things deal with what's going on the inside. And you know, it's just like anything else. If you don't take care of the inside, you'll never get to the outside. These two things we're going to cover today are dealing with what's going on outside. But you have to focus and be very careful to take these five qualities and work on the inside to make sure the inside is developing so that you can develop on the outside. Now today, our focus is verse 7, where we're told to add to these brotherly kindness. Now, brotherly kindness is, of course, the Greek word is the word Philadelphia, which we know to mean brotherly love, the love of the brethren. And that is a fervent, practical caring for the family of God. That means you love those that you worship with. You know, I've learned a valuable lesson during this period of stay at home that we're experiencing right now. This not being able to meet together has given me a new appreciation for our church family. Listen, I've been pastoring for 28 years. And I thought I appreciated the church. I thought I loved the church. But I'll tell you, there's nothing that will make you appreciate and love like doing without. And having not been able to worship with you the last month has given me a new appreciation, a new love for you, a new desire to be able to worship together and spend time together. But you know, that's the way it should be. If we don't miss it, something is wrong. You know, this love that we're talking about, it's actually a evidence that we've been born of God. If we love one another, that shows the world who we belong to. John 4:20 says, if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Listen, the bottom line is, if you love God, you'll love God's children. It's much like realizing it's a package deal. And if you were to tell me, "Brother Doug, I love you, but I don't love your children," I'd say, "Well, you don't love me." Because we all come together. And if you're going to say, "I love God," then you're going to have to learn to love God's children. And sometimes it's not easy, but it's necessary. Okay? You say, "Brother Doug, how do I learn to love?" Let's face it, sometimes church people are hard to deal with. So how do you learn to love the brethren? I'm going to give you five things. Number one, you learn to put the brethren first. See, if you put the brethren first, you'll take your eyes off you and quit worrying about what you don't have or what you're not getting, and start worrying about what your brothers and sisters in Christ don't have and what they're not getting. And if your focus is put them first, then it becomes a priority in your life. You see, in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, we're told, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit," or looking out for number one, "but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." That is, as you look among your church family, that you look at them and you say, "I'm going to put them before my own personal wants and desires. They're more important, or their needs are more important than my needs." And that goes against everything that the world teaches. The world teaches, "Do it to them before they do it to you. Get yours while you can" mentality. But beloved, we're not of the world. Number two, take time to invest your life in the lives of others. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for one's friend." Give your life. And I'm not talking about dying for somebody. I'm talking about living for somebody. Okay? Give your life, or dedicate your life, for the good of your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, Jesus said, "If any among you will be great, let him be your servant." And that's what we're talking about here. Make it a point to serve others, not yourself. And you'll find that as you put others first, as you begin to serve others, your heart will begin to change. Also, pray for one another. Listen, do you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ? James 5:16 says, "Confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And I've told you this several times, but there is no greater thing that you can do for me than to say, "Brother Doug, I'm praying for you," and actually pray for me. Oh, listen, we need one another's prayers. We are fighting spiritual battles here that we cannot fight on our own. We need supernatural intervention. And the way to supernatural intervention is for God's people to get on their knees and start lifting one another up before our awesome God. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. I kind of laugh at this one, because you have to be deliberate to be encouraging. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you are also doing." The idea there is lift one another up. When somebody approaches you and they ask you how you're doing, listen, don't stop them and give them every physical ailment that you're feeling. Don't stop them and say, "Well, this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong." Stop them and be an encouragement to them. When they say, "How are you doing?" "I'm doing great. How about you?"
When they say, when you see people and they look like they're down, take the time to stop and talk to them and visit with them and minister to them. I think that's probably the biggest thing that we could do for one another is actually take the time to be with one another. Bottom line is this. You make your brethren in Christ important. Let them be important in your life. That's how you will learn to love the brethren. He said, not only add to godliness brotherly kindness, but add to brotherly kindness love. Now here's where it gets really deep really quickly. Okay? We just added brotherly love. But now we're going to add love. And this is the highest level of spiritual development that you can possibly develop into. Okay? This love that it's talking about, the Greek word is agape. We went from Philadelphia, brotherly love, to agape love, which is a God love. And it's desiring the highest good for others, period. Not just the brethren, but for everybody else. See, this is the love that God developed, that God has exhibited towards sinners. This is the love that looks at the sinner that's unworthy, but yet Jesus loves him so much he went to the cross of Calvary to give his life for his sins. This is the love that God looks at a God-rejecting people and yet says, I'm going to give my son to die on behalf of their sins. This is the love that will set you apart from everybody else. See, Luke chapter 6, verse 32 says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. You see, we're different as God's people. We're not like the world. It's easy to love those people who love you, but we're not talking about that's not a godly love. That's a world love. The godly love says, I love you no matter if you like me or not. The godly love says, I love you no matter if you love me back. The godly love ascends above and beyond all prejudice and sees the individual that Jesus loves and died for. You see, this includes loving people who are absolutely opposite of everything that you are and everything that you stand for. You know? For example, I've heard people say, I cannot stand to be around a homosexual. And I understand that lifestyle is against everything that you may stand for. I get that. But I want to tell you something also. God loves that homosexual. And because He loves that homosexual, you should love that homosexual. This is the kind of love we're talking about, where you're able to look beyond the sin and see the sinner. Because there is a human being behind that sin. And there is a human being that Jesus loved so much that He gave His life so that he could have eternal life. The drunkard who spends his check and it's things like this that makes that caused me to become angry. The drunkard who spends his paycheck on alcohol while his children go hungry. And you know, that fires me up to see children do without so that a parent can feed a bad habit or addiction. But can you look beyond that sin and see the sinner? The drug addict who will steal from their own family to supply their addiction. Can you look beyond that sin to see the individual? The Democrat, when you're a Republican, can you love him? The Republican, when you're a Democrat, can you love him? You see, that's this idea, is being able to look beyond all prejudice and see an individual who needs Jesus Christ. Because that's what we're here for. told you before, if you do not get the first three, the first five, you'll never advance to brotherly love and to this godly love. Because brotherly love and godly love require a standard that is above the world. Remember virtue? That's what that was. Brotherly love and godly love require self-control, saying no to my personal prejudice and being able to see that individual through the love and the eyes of God. You see, you've got to get the first part right before you can get to the second part. So, Brother Doug, how do I get there? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. First and foremost, and this is actually the only thing, take time to invest your life in them. So many lost people today do not have time for God because God's people have never taken the time for them. They've let their prejudice build a wall. They've let the sin that's in their life build a wall. And so they turn, so we turn, and we look the other way, and we avoid that sinner at all costs. It's not acceptable. That's not who we are. That's not the divine nature that I've been preaching about. I'm reminded of the story of Zacchaeus. Love that story. Learned the song as a child. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. But you go back into the book of Luke and you read about the story of Zacchaeus and you find out he was a tax collector. He wasn't just any tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. Meaning he was the boss of tax collectors. He would have been hated by everyone in the culture of that day because of his profession. And this tax collector was rich. And he wanted one thing. He heard Jesus was coming to town. And he wanted just to see Jesus. But as he went out to see Jesus, the crowds lined the road where Jesus would be passing by. And he couldn't get close enough. You see, he was a short man. And he couldn't see over anybody. So he come up with a plan. He ran ahead of where Jesus would be and ahead of where the crowds were. And he climbed up in a tree. A sycamore tree. Waited for Jesus to walk by just so he could see him. Oh, there were a lot of people in that day that were religious. The Pharisees that would have looked at him and looked down upon him for his profession. The general population that would have avoided him because they had to pay tax to him. Nobody would have given that man the time of day. He climbed that tree and waited for Jesus to pass by. And the most amazing thing happened as Jesus passed by. He didn't look the other way. But he stopped. He turned and the Bible says he looked up at Zacchaeus. And he spoke to Zacchaeus. And when he spoke to Zacchaeus, he didn't say, "Zacchaeus, you sorry tax collector, you're not worthy of my time." He looked up at Zacchaeus and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down. For I must go stay with you today." Can you imagine the excitement that filled that man as this Messiah, this Jesus, this godly person actually took time and spoke to him? And he didn't just speak to him. He said, "Zacchaeus, I want to go to your house and spend time with you today." Can you imagine how foreign this was to Zacchaeus? So, of course, Zacchaeus came down. Jesus accompanied him to his house. All the religious people of that day said, "He's eating with sinners. What is he doing?" But Zacchaeus was saved that very day. Jesus himself said, "Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house." All because Jesus stopped and took time to spend with this man. Listen, there has been a wall built between Christians and the world. And I'm not suggesting that we become like the world. Absolutely not. Back to the first addition to our faith, virtue. We have a higher standard. We do not do the things the world does. However, we have to live in the world. And living in the world, we'll never win the world if we do not have contact with those that are caught up in the sins of the world. My challenge to you today is to be able to look beyond the individual. Whether we're talking about brotherly love. I mean, let's face it. Church members are not perfect. We've got to work at one another. All of us have our days that we're a little bit cranky, to put it mildly. All of us open our mouth when we should be silent. My challenge to you today is to be able to overlook my faults, the faults of others that would be in your church family. Say, I choose to love you anyway, and to look out for your good, and to pray for you, and to help you any way I can. My challenge today is, as you go out into the world, that you're able to look beyond the sin and the curse of sin that's plaguing our nation. And that you see a people who need Jesus. And that this vision that you see will cause you to stop and spend time with the Zacchaeuses of this world. Say, let me just minister to you today. Let me share with you the Jesus that I know. You may be here today and watching this and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to take just a moment of your time. I want you to know that God loves you. So does Victory Baptist Church, and so do I. I want you to know that it does not matter what you've done. Whether you're the sinner of sinners or you're not so bad in the world's eyes. I want you to know that you're not too bad to be saved, and you're not too good to be saved. Jesus Christ says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And He issues an invitation. Come unto Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you realize that Jesus lived 2,000 years ago? And He died upon the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. But He, being God, was able to look beyond all those He was surrounded by on the day that He died. He could look into the future and He could see you who would need a Savior. He could see me in my sin. And He said, I'm dying for Doug Henry. I'm dying for you who are sitting in your living room this evening. I want to challenge you. Will you call upon the name of the Lord and ask Him to save you? The Bible says, and I say this every message, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you call upon Jesus? Thank you for your attention and for giving me the privilege of sharing God's Word with you. And I challenge you, spend time in 2 Peter, the first part of this chapter, and let's work together so that we may become a people who share in the divine nature of our great God. God bless you.